Let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 3, and we continue our study here through this chapter. Daniel 3, 19 through 30 is my text, end of the chapter. And we see here the story of the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, in his fury, casts Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, and how the Lord preserved them. So, verse 19, it says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury." What was his fury? The fact that these would not bow, in spite of the threats, that image that he had set up, such as the faith that the Lord gives his own, that they cannot compromise, even for a second. That if it's not Christ, they don't bow the knee. And it says, "And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The implication there is that up here he was trying to reason with them and do it in somewhat of a kind way, supposedly. But suddenly, as they declared their trust in God, that God would deliver them, and they would not worship any other god, even if through the fire, the furnace. Verse 17 is a strong statement we saw last time. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," in other words, if this was to be the way God had determined that they should die, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And here's where suddenly now they could see that the form of the visit, his vision was changed. We can see that today when people think that somehow they'll get us to compromise over the message of the gospel. And you can see it in their faces. I've seen it while preaching. The face changes, the jaw gets clenched. People get upset, they get angry. He tried to woo them, first of all, with reasoning, but when he couldn't, then here he used intimidation. And I'll tell you, this faith that they had wasn't of themselves, because we know we're all weak in nature, facing such a consequence here, being cast in this burning, fiery furnace. And there have been others that have turned away in the face of opposition and gone back to their former profession, thinking themselves to be better for it. But you think of Judas with our Lord. After he betrayed our Lord, there wasn't any joy and happiness. In fact, Scripture says without repentance, he went and hung himself. Threw the money back to the Pharisees that had given it to him. And they didn't know what to do with it because it was blood money now. So they went and bought that field, which Judas went and committed suicide. There's no joy or peace in denying the Lord. Here we can see the determination of Nebuchadnezzar in verse 21, "These men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments." What would be the purpose of that? Well, to completely burn them up. And in addition there, were cast in the midst of the burning fire, made exceedingly hot. Everything here was done to make sure that these three men were quickly and completely burned and could do nothing about it. Here again is the folly of wicked men that think that somehow by their persecutions and what they do, they can shut men's mouths and somehow keep God from doing his work. In fact, as we read down through here, and I've said many times in my life, and this is true of all of us, that we're either heading into trouble, we're in trouble, or we're coming out of trouble. And that's the case here of these three. They were heading into trouble. in this first part. And Nebuchadnezzar determined that he was going to get the glory out of this. That's where men are blind, just like Nebuchadnezzar here, thinking that somehow his glory could rival that of God's. It says in verse 22, not only did he bind them, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire, look at this, slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had purposed that furnace for these three, and yet God purposed that those that took them up to throw them in were slain. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There it is, heading into trouble. And then verses 24 and 25, we see them in that trouble. When it says in verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And looky here, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There are some that think that he was just saying it was like an angel, but that's very specific there, is like the Son of God. And here they were in the midst of the fire, but not bound. See, that's God's work, that they would be loose walking in the midst of the fire. And the interesting thing is they didn't seek to get out of the fire. If they were no longer bound and loose, you'd think, well, they'd be running for the exit. But here, such was the grace of God that these men that he had cast into the fire were at peace in that fire. You say, well, how could that be? Well, it's because of that fourth. This fourth person was none other than the Son of God. And here we have, I believe, one of those pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. Christ is from eternity. And we see many times he appeared in different forms unto men. Appeared as a man. And here again, we see him with them, literally in their worst trial. Now, some say, well, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know that this was indeed the Son of God that was with them? Well, how could they not know? When it has here that they were walking in the midst of the fire and they had no hurt, don't you suppose that Christ was communing with them? Speaking with them, comforting them, speaking peace. And so here again, we see how the Lord purposes that the Lord Jesus Christ be the peace and comfort for his people, even here in the Old Testament. You say, well, how do you know that they knew of Christ? Well, that's what Peter wrote about there, that the Spirit of Christ that was in them did testify of the sufferings that he should suffer and the glory that should follow. Some see this furnace as having been prepared for them, but in reality, I believe it was prepared for Christ, the Son of God here, that it might be manifest that even as this fire, that he, the Son of God, would bear when he would come in the flesh as the substitute and savior of his people. That's what we're seeing here. That fire could not touch those that God had purposed to deliver and save by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a liberty that we see here. the same liberty we have in Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Their hands and their feet were no longer bound, and they walked in the midst of the fire. When Christ went through the fire of his suffering, it's called a baptism of fire, that he's the one that bore the heat. He's the one that bore the wrath on behalf of his people. And what's the consequence? That his people here, and it's an amazing thing when you read about it, they didn't even, not only were they affected by the fire, but when they were brought forth, there wasn't even a smell. It says down there in verse 27, the people gathered, they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Do you see the beautiful picture here of what it is for Christ to bear that wrath on behalf of his people? Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34, this is the way the writer of the Hebrews described God's working on behalf of his people, even there in the Old Testament, particularly in the Old Testament. It says there in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness. He's talking about that faith given them to look to Christ. And this is all his people in the Old Testament. Obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We're going to see that with Daniel. Some say, where was Daniel at this time? The Lord doesn't tell us. It's not that he had in any way compromised. He hadn't bowed to that image, but he was a high official. He may have been off on a mission at some point, and Nebuchadnezzar took advantage now to try to get at his friends. But he, even there, Daniel's a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that none can harm those that are his. But look here in verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. This shows us the supernatural work of God on their behalf. That fire is a violent thing, but with Christ, there again, him bearing it, I want us to see there in verse 27 that there is no condemnation. Nothing can touch any one of the Lord's for whom he has paid the debt and been their substitute. And that's why in verse 26 that Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. This is the work of God to do. So we've seen them heading into trouble, in trouble. Now we find them coming out of trouble. All this purpose of God. There in verses 26 and 7, he calls them the servants of the Most High God. Where at one point he was enraged that they would not acknowledge him. Now he could but recognize these as being the servants. When he says the Most High God, he's talking about the God. And he says that in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some say, well, was this a conversion experience for Nebuchadnezzar? No. He acknowledges that these are the servants of the Most High God that they serve, but he's not saying he's my God. But he was the God of these three. And the Lord proved to them his faithfulness in keeping them, so that not even the smell of fire was on them. What a blessed reality that is for those of us for whom Christ has borne the burden, borne the wrath, borne the curse. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel. So there now, that's all he can, he doesn't know the Son of God. All he perceives here is that their God had sent a messenger, an angel. But oh, how much greater than an angel. Because this was one in whom they trusted. It says there in verse 20, and delivered his servants that trusted in him. If this were but a mere angel, their trust wouldn't be in an angel. We're not to worship angels. And so he could see the hand of God in this, and yet did not know that it was indeed the Son of God, not just a God, little G-O-D, that came to deliver them. So he was forced to acknowledge, even though he himself was not submitted to this God, as we know later, because Nebuchadnezzar ends up throwing Daniel in the lion's den. There wasn't any conversion as far as Nebuchadnezzar was concerned. He knew a lot about God, having seen the testimony of these three, and yet did not know God. And that's the case of so many today. They profess to know God, but they don't know this God, the one who is mighty to save. Here in verse 28, he even confesses that God is such that has changed the king's word, and these have yielded their bodies. That's what God causes us to do, to yield our bodies a living sacrifice, not to be conformed to the world, is what Paul says there in Romans chapter 12, and verse 2. That they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. People today accuse us of being limited, narrow-minded. You ever hear that? Just narrow-minded. Well, there's a reason. Because God, as he reveals himself in this word, is not to be compared to just any god that men worship today. It's pretty astounding when you see, like we did here this week, some man standing up and supposedly giving a prayer and addressing every possible God at the beginning, and then at the end saying amen, and then adds a woman, so as to be gender neutral. People have lost their minds, but it's because of the depravity of their own hearts. That's not our God. And there may be a day where we face that furnace, where they begin to try to impose on us how it is we're going to worship our God. There are gender-neutral translations of Scripture that are out there that they've taken the he out. There's even some that have put God as a she. That's not our God. And we'll continue to declare him just as he is in this word. This word does not change, but be ready for the fiery trial, even as Peter spoke of in his day, that they should be aware that there was a fiery trial that the Lord would bring. That was back in the first century, for which they should be prepared. And that did come in the first century. That those that were the Lord's in that first century had to endure. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 4, that's what he's speaking of there. There's the fiery trial, baptism fire that our Lord Jesus Christ bore, but there is that fiery trial which those that are his people can expect by identifying with Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. can't condemn us, but is to try us, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. See there? Think about what Christ endured for such wretches as we are. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, that's really what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were facing. For the name of Christ, happy are ye, blessed are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody, in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, one belonging to Christ is what that means. It's not like the popular term today. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, for the time is come. He's talking about there in the first century, but we can expect that in our lifetime we face such a fiery trial. But it must begin at the house of God. How does it begin in the house of God? God's sorting out the wheat from the chaff. All that's wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt up in this life through the fiery trial. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be? Just like we saw in Jeremiah, what will be your end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Obey not, there the word obey means don't hear it, refuse to hear it. They're deaf, they're blind. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, it doesn't mean scarcely in the sense of by the hair of my chinny chin chin, but it's speaking here, if the righteous that are saved are scarce, because there are few, there's a remnant only, it's not everybody. That's what he's talking about there. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Don't follow men just because it's popular and it's a place of worship where they have a whole lot more money and people and cars, means, no? Oh, to be of those that are scarce, but to be of the righteous, not in themselves, but declared righteous by God because of Christ's precious work. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. See, that's the thing here. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was exercising his will, and he was, but he wasn't doing one thing more. Could not do one thing more than what God had already decreed. And he acknowledges that. And that's why we commit the keeping of our souls. They commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. It doesn't knock you off track as unto a faithful creator. That's the faith that God gives. So here, coming back to my text to finish up, this is what motivated Nebuchadnezzar to make this decree. It wasn't coming from him. This was God causing him to decree. Therefore, I make a decree. There's nothing that man can decree but what God has decreed. That every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, you notice, it doesn't say my God. Shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. God can even cause a donkey to speak the truth. And here we see that with Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord did it there in the book of Acts with Caiaphas, when he realized it's better that one man died rather than the whole nation perish. He spoke of the death of Christ without even knowing it. Or in John, the Gospel of John. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a turn of events, some would say. But none of it was by luck or dodging a bullet. What God purposed all along, that through the fire, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be exalted, and that these that were his be delivered. So much more there to ponder and consider. What a great God we have. Listen.